precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I've been to Cambodia, thank the Lord. I had a nice trip there to see the work the Lord is doing in that part of the world. Thank God for Israel, who is very committed and dedicated to the gospel in Cambodia. So he really needs our prayers and support. As he has put his heart and his life, and the Lord is bearing witness among those he's ministering to. So we thank God for such courage and commitment, and we just pray that the Lord will bring forth the results that are intended by the preaching of the gospel. So we thank God for that. Now, this morning I just want to speak to you on this subject. We want to see, and we want to read from the book of John, chapter 12. We will read from verse 20 up to verse 28. Verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The time came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we will see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Amen. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have read your word, Lord. Is Father any able what a man can do? Hallelujah. But Father God, it comes from you that Lord God, you see the light and the Hallelujah. Meaning, Father God, and the revelation of this word. Amen. So we pray this morning, Father, that you may, by your Spirit, Lord, reveal to us, Father, what is hidden in this word, Lord, and reveal to our hearts, Lord, the purpose, Father God, of this word and message to us this morning. We commit ourselves, Lord, even the speaker and the hearer, that all glory and honor be to your name. Amen. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Now, we want to speak on this subject. We want to see. Now, the thing here is that the Greeks came to the feast as the rest of the people come. And the feast was, of course, the negative of the positive. It was the feast of the Passover. Now, these Greeks, they came and said, we want to see. And we know that God has given us these five senses in the body that we can contact this world which we live in. And seeing, or the sense of sight, is one of the most powerful senses that we have. It is the window or the door to the mind of our soul that we may get to grips with the reality of things.
Amen.
We may hear about something or we may hear, but you know, it takes seeing to confirm what we have heard. And even seeing has been meant to be this word under understanding. So when you see something, it means now you understand or you have come to grips with the reality of it. So seeing is a very powerful means by which we can also even remember the things that we have come in contact with. We may feel something, we may hear something, but when we see, it looks like it sticks to us more than what we feel or what we hear about. So now, here the Greeks, being Gentiles, they heard about this Jewish feast, of course by the hearing of the ear. They heard about Jesus, and now they come and wanted to see Jesus. And you know, they just came to the rightful place at the rightful time. This was the feast of the Passover, when all Israel was remembering their coming out of bondage in the land of Egypt. And God was delivering them to the land that He had promised Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And Jesus had come also to this feast to commemorate that great event. But now when these Greeks came, after seeing everything in the feast, the eating, the singing, the talking and everything, all the socializing that was there, they finally say, came to one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "We want to see Jesus." Now when they said this, you know, it could be like everybody else, we had come to the feast. You would like to see this one or that one. Maybe someone will say, "I just want to see the rabbi." Maybe someone will say, "I want to see the priest." Someone can say, "I want to see so and so," or a relative, or a colleague, friend. You know, when you come to such a gathering, there's that social part,
right,
when you meet with other people. So when it came to be that they said, "We want to see Jesus," it could be just like any other scene, like anybody who wants to see anybody or somebody. But when Jesus was told, you know, he was overwhelmed by the fact that they wanted to see him. And then he said this statement, which related to his death. You know, it's like on that day when that woman touched the hem of his garment, the Lord Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" And the disciple says, "How can you ask such a question? Everybody's touching you." And sure enough, everybody was touching him. There were many people who came to touch him, but there was that different touch from that woman,
amen,
which made a difference. And even Jesus said, "I found virtue come out of me." Because it was not just an ordinary touch. It was a touch with something greater than just a touch. And Jesus said to the woman, "Thy faith has healed you." So, you see, that woman touched him with a different touch from these other people. So this Greek show, when they said, "We want to see Jesus," then Jesus could see and discern the purpose of them wanting to see. And actually what they wanted to see, it was more than just seeing the man Jesus. It was something that's more than seeing the preacher or somebody who was sort of famous during those days. Because it drove Jesus to say these words about his death, about the dying of the corn of wheat, about somebody, if he loves his life, you lose it. But if he gives you, if he does not love his life, then you get life eternal. Now, if they really wanted to see him, we just want to see, what did they really want to see when they says, we will see Jesus? In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, Jesus spoke these words in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Now you see here Jesus is saying this Beatitudes. All that Jesus is saying here, all these Beatitudes he said, they relate to what was actually happening in people's lives. He was not saying here something that was out of the day-to-day life of the people. He talked about blessing upon those who mourn, blessing upon the meek, blessing upon those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. All these things were already in the people, and Jesus was pronouncing the blessing upon those who had the desire for righteousness, those who were meek, and those who were peacemakers.
Amen.
And here he says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. So you see, it was always a desire in the people to see God. And then Jesus here says, it is a blessing to be pure in heart, for that is the only way one can see God, if he is pure in heart. Now, because it has been the desire from all ages for people to desire to see God. That's why, because of that desire, of course, the devil took advantage of it and made people, you know, to worship idols, and even to make images of God. Like, you know, when Paul came to the city of Athens in chapter 17 of the book of Acts, he saw those people had built temples to different gods. And there was another temple to the unknown God. So you can see there was a desire in those people to see and to get in touch with what they believed was God. So they had a temple to the God of thunder, a temple to the God of harvest, a temple to the God of beauty, a temple to the God of fertility, a temple to this God, a temple to the God of war. All these temples, they were representing the God that they desired to get in touch with. And then they had another temple, which they say, this is to the unknown God. We don't know him, but we build a temple for him so that they could somehow get in touch with this God.
Right.
So you can see that was the devil's version upon the people so that they can worship the wrong thing. When people worship the sun, they worship the moon, they worship the stars, and all those images, you know, the desire for the people is to come in contact with the God that they believed in, or that they believed was there. So it has been the desire from all ages for people to see God. And then Jesus here says, it is a blessing to be pure in heart, for that will give you an answer to really see God. And David spoke of what a pure heart is. At that time he says, unite my heart. He desired his heart to be united. That means to be pure from any contamination. into the temple or into the presence of God. So we see here, the desire to see God has always been there, and if people, by the grace of God, can be drawn into that reality, into that sphere where they can see, where they can come in grips with the reality of the purpose of God, then it is a blessing. When people can come not just to a theoretical, you know, knowledge of God, if people can come when they can come in real contact with God,
amen,
then it will have an impact upon their lives for them to live the right kind of life and to serve God in the right manner which can be acceptable before God.
Amen.
For here, the Lord Jesus says, where I am, my servant will be. And if any man loves his life, he shall lose it. But if he loses his life in this world, he shall get life eternal. And here he himself, he says, now I have to give my life. I've got to die so that I can give life to my very own. And those who are his own will have to give also their life that they may come into contact with real life.
Amen.
And Jesus says, it's a blessing for you to come to such a revelation that you may see the purpose and the real thing God is calling us to when he gives us his word.
Amen.
Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, we'll read verse 9, 17 to verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Excuse me. Now, here is Moses God is telling him that he is going to do this what Moses had desired, and that Moses had found grace in the sight of the Lord, and also that God knew Moses by name.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's the significance of a name to a person? You know, when people are given names, it was a reflection of who they were. When Adam was called Adam, it meant what he was. When Eve was called Eve, it meant what she was. When Abraham was given the name Abraham, it was showing or signifying who he was. So when God gave names, it was the character, it was the whole being of the person was reflected by his name. So when God says to Moses, I know you by name, you know, he knew Moses, what he was, as referred to by his name. So after God knows Moses in this way, then Moses says, show me thy glory. But this Moses is he who was called by God, you know, there at the burning bush, when you saw the pillar of fire in that burning bush, and God gave him even two signs, and this is the very Moses who had gone down into Egypt and exercised the power of God among the Egyptians, in all those problems and troubles that came and befell upon the nation of Egypt. And this is the same Moses who opened the Red Sea that the people might cross over. And again in verse 11 of this same chapter, he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." So you see, this is the God who was speaking to Moses. He spoke to him face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. But still Moses says, "Show me thy glory." What more glory than what did Moses want to see? Because already he had seen that burning bush. He had seen the Red Sea open up and close. He had seen God doing all these great things. But still Moses says, "Lord, show me thy glory." What is it that he wanted to see? More than all these miracles that had happened in his life. Not only happened, but he was even part and parcel of the instruments God used to bring out all these miracles. But he had a desire to see the glory of God. Now, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat dies, it will remain alone. But if the grain of wheat dies, then it will bring forth. So you can see the glory of the wheat is not the grain alone. But it is the glory is when this grain is buried, it dies, and then it brings forth. Then, and only then, can you see the glory of the wheat. You know, back home, we have a lot of varieties of corn, maize seed. You know, it's advertised the goodness and you know, the beauty of this seed. They can tell you about this hybrid seed. It's good, it's drought tolerant, it's disease tolerant, it's all this. But only glory that you can talk about the seed is not actually glory. The glory is seen when the seed is planted,
yes,
and it brings forth.
Amen.
So it is not how much I know or how much I understand the explanation or the glory or the goodness in the seed by reading from what the researcher has said about the seed. But the real glory of the seed is in the planting thereof, and then it will produce what it is. Then we can see this glory which is said to be in the seed. And then Jesus says, it is that fruit. So, when they wanted to see Jesus, Jesus brings them to this seed. He says, if it does not die, it will abide alone.
Right.
But if it dies, then it will bring forth much. So you can see, there is a reason and there is a purpose why God has given us His Word. So to us, the Word of God, you know, it's not just the beauty, it's not just the glory in the receiving of the Word of God. Or God can bring to us ministers, or can give us ministers who can really expound the Word of God, who can really teach the Word of God. And we can even read from the Bible what the Word of God is talking or is all about. But that is not the thing.
Right.
The thing of it is, when we get the word of God and we believe we have come out of the denominations, we have come out of the world systems, and we have come to the real word of God. But you know, this word of God that we have come to is not the conclusion, but it is now where we can go into the reality of the purpose of this word that God has given us. Like with Moses, when God called him and showed him all these things, the opening of the Red Sea, even all the problems that came upon the people of Egypt, and the deliverance of the people of Israel out of bondage, to Moses, that was not the conclusion of his call. That was not the purpose of God calling him. That's why after he saw that, he says, now you have brought me into this realm. You have taken me out of where I was into this realm of your, of all this glory, of all these things that you have shown me. Now I want to see the purpose of your calling me to this wonderful thing. Because you can see, even when God does a work, or God ordains a ministry and gives it to the people, like the people of Corinth, they had such great men like Paul, whom God vindicated to be a true servant and a true minister of the word of God. They had Apollos, and it's written in the Bible that Apollos was well versed in the scriptures. You could really expound the scriptures, and Paul could show forth the power of God in the word of God. So when God gave the church of Corinth these two ministers, and even Peter, who was there also ministering to them, what did they come out with? They came out with a philosophy: I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Peter, I am of Christ. They could not see the purpose why God had given them this ministry.
Yes.
So the thing of it is not we are listening, we are receiving, or we are in the right place of fellowship. But the thing of it is to see the purpose why God has brought you to this truth.
Amen.
Because I've seen in this world when God has raised great men and they have spoken the word of God and they have shown the people the real word of God, when that man or that preacher passes off the scene, when that man dies, you see the church will remain in shambles.
Right.
The church will be broken up. But then you wonder, but God has been bringing this wonderful word through this minister. Why is it that people are now broken up? That means they have not come to the to see why God gave them the word. To them, the absolute, or to them, you know, the end result of their coming to God was to sit under such a beautiful, such a powerful, or such a wonderful ministry. That's why, even in the realms of the message, when God took the prophet, people started to go one this way, one that way, one that way, and all this mess we find in this message. Why is it so, after God had given this world such a wonderful ministry through the prophet, why is it that people have disintegrated churches, are just going wayward? Yet God has brought this word. It assures one thing, that when God does something, people, they don't see, they don't have the desire to see the real thing that God is trying to point them to. That's why Jesus Christ, when the Greeks said, we want to see Jesus, then Jesus said, now the hour has come. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He pointed to the hour. That now the hour has come. these Greeks, when they came, they did not want to see this man Jesus. They wanted to see something that is more than the man Jesus.
Right.
That's why he says, now, you cannot see me. You cannot see what you want to see until I die. That's when you can see the glory that you want to see.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you see, that's why Moses, after he had seen all these things that God had done to him, he comes and says, now, show me your glory. But what more glory did Moses want? Because we can see even now in this day we are living in, you know, people, they are so taken up with the things that they say, this is God. You know, a friend of mine was showing me somewhere where he said we were in a meeting, and then he said, can you see the pillar of fire moving among the people? I think they are acquainted with this, that there are people who have their photographs with a pillar of fire. You know, yes, God showed for the prophet and he gave him this vindication by the pillar of fire. And it's there in the photographs. It's there in the testimony of the prophet. But you think God is interested in us seeing the pillar of fire? The pillar of fire was to vindicate the prophet's message. So what was important was not just that pillar of fire, but what was behind that pillar of fire.
Amen.
You know, it's like in 1963 or 62, when that cloud, that misty cloud was seen. And Brother Branham says, these were seven angels who had come to him to give him the revelation of the seven seals. And that cloud was photographed. And we have that cloud all over in our churches, of course, in our literature, in our stationery, we have got all that cloud. But now let's just look at that cloud. That cloud was seven angels that they brought, that came to Brother Branham on that mountain. You know, I just want to show you why. People, they are so concerned with their photograph with the pillar of fire, their congregation with the pillar of fire. But you see, that cloud, which had the face of Christ, was not photographed by a Christian. It was photographed by those people, whoever, scientists or whatever it was. And it came in the magazine, the Life magazine. All the photographer of the magazine saw the cloud and photographed it. And they said it's a mystic cloud. But to us, we know why that cloud was sent. The angels had come to Brother Branham to give him the revelation of the seven seals. So what we are concerned with, our interest is not in the cloud, but what it brought to us.
Right.
That is the revelation of the seven seals. Because the cloud was even seen by sinners, and nothing happened to them. So, Brother Branham, when he was about to speak on the marriage and divorce, he went up the mountain to see God's word, or to see God's answer to this question of marriage and divorce. And then when he was there, the Lord talked with him. While God was talking with him, the people down there could see the pillar of fire going up and down. And children even came out of their classes to look at that great phenomenon. The children saw the pillar of fire. The people saw the pillar of fire. But it never helped them. But we got the revelation and the teaching on the marriage and divorce. So what was important was the message that God was giving to the prophet while he was on the mountain. Though the pillar of fire was to vindicate that God was speaking with him. But what we are interested in is what the message was. That's why Moses, after seeing this great phenomenon, after seeing all these things, he still comes to God and says, show me your glory. What is that glory that Moses desired to see? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 27, Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now here is Moses. The Bible is telling us why he did what he did. Mm-hmm. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the king. This is Moses. When he forsook Egypt, the Bible says he was seeing the unseen. So what prompted Moses to do what he did was seeing the unseen. And after seeing that, then God gave him the commission. If we look in Hebrews 11, let's just look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. Now Moses saw the unseen, and then God gave him the commission to bring the people of Egypt, Israel, out of Egypt. And when God was bringing the people out of Egypt, the Bible says the people believed in Moses. The people believed in God. Their coming out of Egypt was a great thing to the people of Israel. They were seeing the great power of God. They were seeing that God was a wonderful God to them. They were seeing that God is more powerful than the gods of Egypt. That's what the people of Israel were seeing. But Moses was not seeing that. He was seeing the unseen. Because if Moses had seen what the people of Israel could see, he would have been satisfied by that, what God was doing during that time. Because the people of Israel, when they saw God doing great things, they were so taken up by what God was doing. When God opened the Red Sea, they say, this is God. And Miriam took the tambourine, jumped all over the shore, praising God, because he had seen the deliverance. And the people of Israel believed, Moses, you are a man of God. God is real God, because God has delivered us. That's what they were seeing. And when they came to the spot where there was no water, there was no food, what did they see? They saw again that problem. And they said, Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? They were so concerned. Their faith was, rotating around what they were seeing.
That's right.
The natural they were seeing, mm-hmm, is what was making them to be what they were. They came out of Egypt because they were seeing.
Right.
The glory of God, all the wonderful works God was doing. They crossed the Red Sea because they saw God and opened it. They were praising God because they were seeing all these things around them. But Moses was not concerned, was not taken up by those things. He says, Lord,
show me your glory. Which means he wanted something beyond what he was seeing.
Right.
For the Bible says, the things that are seen were made by the things that are not seen.
Amen.
So we are not confessed by the things that are seen. Because they are only showing us the something that is real, which is not seen.
Amen.
That is the desire of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to see that. That's why he says, show me your glory.
Amen.
And even his faith was motivated by something that was not seen. That's why Isaiah was saying, you know, people can sit under a wonderful ministry. People can hear the word of God. People can see, you know, God really doing great things in their midst. But if you look at their lives, those lives don't match the gospel that they are hearing.
Right.
But don't be saying amen. Don't be glorifying God. Don't be coming to church. But their life is not in accordance with the ministry. That's why Paul was crying always about these people, the Galatians. They, God, you know, showed the Galatians the power of God through the ministry of Paul, but they could not see it. When somebody comes with this doctrine of circumcision, they go for it.
Right.
The Corinthians, God was showing through Paul the power of the word of God. But somebody comes up with the theory of we are of Paul, we are of this, they follow that. Why is it so? Because people, they look at the seen. They don't look at the unseen.
Right.
So we want to see that which God wants us to see.
Amen.
That's why the Greeks came and said, we will see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Because we are not interested in the things that are seen. We are interested in that which is reflected by these things that are seen.
Amen.
The word that is being preached is a reflection of the real word.
Amen.
And we don't want this, what is being preached. Because out of what is preached comes doctrines, denominations, and things. Luther preached the truth. And people who saw the message, they followed the real thing that Luther was preaching. But because Luther took that stand, and people saw Luther standing on that stand, they also rejected the Catholic Church. And they started their own denomination.
Mm-hmm.
The King of England, because of the stand Luther took, he also came out of the Catholic.
Right.
But not with the revelation. Because they just seen Luther do it. If Luther can do it, I can do it.
Right.
They could see only the natural. But Moses, though he was doing the natural, he was not doing the natural for the natural. Just imagine. The Bible says he forsook Egypt by faith. And by faith, he partook of the Passover. So when Moses was partaking of the Passover, he was not doing like the rest of Israel. The rest of Israel, when they were taking the Passover, they were doing it for their deliverance, to come out of Egypt. But to Moses, the Passover was something more than that.
Hallelujah.
That's why he could say, show me your glory. Because the Bible says he had seen Christ. Christ doing what? He did not see Christ raising the dead. He did not see Christ giving people bread there. He did not see Christ healing the sick. He saw the purpose of Christ. The anointed Messiah is to redeem people from the hold of sin and death. And that's what Moses was desiring. And he did what he did by faith. When he brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, he was doing it is an act to show he really believed in the true Exodus. When the people come out of the bondage of sin and death. And that could be done by Christ himself. And that's what motivated Moses to do what he was doing. Can you see? And I believe in the same with us today. God sent us a message. But you know, the important thing is not the message. But the important thing is what the message is pointing us to.
Right.
If we can't see that and see the message just as a thing which is coming out of denominations, anybody can come out of denominations. But there's a purpose why God gave us this message.
Mm-hmm.
It's to bring us into contact with the real thing.
Right.
And that's what Moses did. And you know what? Whatever you can do, I don't care how good it is, if it is not a reflection of your faith, that thing is done in vain.
Amen.
The people of Israel came out of Egypt by an act of seeing what God was doing among them. How could they not go when they could see darkness in Egypt and light in Goshen? How could they not go when they were seeing the firstborn of Egyptians dying and them protected? How could they not go when they could see all the problems that came upon the Egyptians? Anybody in his right sense can say, I should go. And they went out because they were seeing that. They were not seeing the real thing. That's why when they came out, the Bible says their hearts went back to Egypt. I don't care how much we have come out of denominations. I don't care how much we have come out of the world. If that is an act caused by something that we are seeing here, if it's an act caused by something that can be seen, then we are acting on the wrong thing, though it is good. And I believe that's why Peter says, we are born of incorruptible seed, not just like grass.
Mm-hmm.
Though grass is the word of God. Though the flower is the word of God. But we have come out because we have seen something that is more than the eye can see.
Right.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, they say, these Greeks came and said, we want to see Jesus. And then Jesus says, if a grain of wheat does not die, it will abide alone. And then he points to his death. Why was Jesus saying these words? If the people just come to see them. You know, it just makes me think of Jacob. When Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old art thou? Jacob said, he never said, oh, I'm 150 years old. Which is just simple. If you ask me how old are you, I'll just tell you I'm 20 years old. But Jacob said, the years of my pilgrimage, the years of my life were not easy.
Right.
And did not attain to the years of my fathers. You know, to Jacob, his age was not just days lived.
Right.
To Jacob, his days were the manifestation day by day of God's work and God's word in his life.
Amen.
That's what age was to Jacob. And if that is what age means to us, it will be more glorious than to think we are 50 years old. And we are still going. What has that 50 years done to you?
Yes.
What has God done in those 50 years? How much God have you seen in those 50 years?
Uh-huh.
You know, it was not just age to Jacob. It was something greater. That's why to Jesus, when they said, we want to see Jesus, he could have just simply come and say, oh, you want to see me? Oh, yes. It's me. How do you do? They said, okay, yeah. Right, that we have seen you. But they didn't want to see how Jesus combed his hair. They didn't want to see how Jesus dressed. They didn't want to see how Jesus spoke. There was something greater. These Greeks were desiring to see. And you should bear in mind, these Greeks are Gentiles. Amen. And Jesus knew when Gentiles desire to see him, what actually do they want to see? Paul tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now here is Jesus, whom the Greeks wanted to see. Who is he to the Jews? He was somebody who could raise their dead. He was somebody who could heal their sick. He was somebody who could do miracles. He was somebody, you know, like the disciples, when they were on the sea, they rose him up. Don't you care for us? We are perishing here. To them, it was somebody who was delivering them out of their present problems. But here is the promise of who Jesus is. The Bible says Jesus came as a minister of circumcision. Amen. To confirm the promises. You know, in chapter 17, when God promised Abraham, when God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, it was, I will be your God and the God of your children. God was transferring, God was giving the sonship to the children of Abraham. And circumcision was that sign that Abraham was God's, and that through Abraham would come many that will be God's people. And then when Jesus came, he was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the truth of God. The truth, the reality, or the realization of what was given to Abraham as a natural act, as a natural thing, as something done by hands to the flesh. When Jesus came, he came to confirm that covenant. Amen. That truth of God. And Brother Branham says, the truth is not just the opposite of lying. Truth is the realization, the manifestation of the real thing of who God is. You know, that's what truth is. So Jesus Christ, he came as a minister to confirm God's truth, as it is written, that the Gentiles might glorify God. Amen. So Jesus came so that we Gentiles can glorify God. There was no other way we could come to God. It was through Jesus. Amen. And these Greeks were Gentiles. They could see, even in this feast, you know, the Greeks came to the feast. And when the Jews were observing this feast, to them, it was the absolute. To them, it was the conclusion. To them, it was the greatest thing that God could ever do, was taking them out of Egypt. But to the Greeks, they saw that it was a sign pointing to something else. And Jesus as a man, when they said we want to see him, Jesus could perceive that they did not want to see him as a man, but they wanted to see What is seeing? Seeing is coming to grips with reality.
Right.
Seeing is the revelation. Seeing, you know, is the manifestation. Because, you know, you can hear about something. You know, like John, he heard the voice, but he turned to see the voice. There's something in seeing. Seeing brings you into grips. What you have heard, now you see. So they wanted to see, not the man Jesus, but they wanted to see what God purposed Jesus for to the Gentiles. And here Paul has a revelation of who Jesus is to us Gentiles. Who Jesus is to us. He's not just a miracle worker. He's not just somebody who heals our bodies. He's not just somebody who blesses us in our job. There's something greater to that. And that's what these Gentiles wanted to see. And when Jesus, when they came to Jesus, you know, it is just, you know, God Jesus until, you know, he says, now my soul is troubled. Now I'm in great torment. What shall I say about this hour? Shall I say, God deliver me? He says, no, that's why I came. I came to die for these Gentiles. I came to die so that the reality of the promise of Abraham may be impacted upon these people. And I cannot do it by preaching to them. I cannot do it by miracles. I cannot do it by telling them, I have got to die. And what shall I say? Deliver me from this death. No, that will jeopardize the purpose of my coming. But what shall I say? Glorify your name. And the voice spoke back, I have glorified it. And I'll glorify it again.
Amen.
Where is the fruit of the death of Jesus Christ? And that is the glory of God. When the fruit of the death of Christ is manifested in you.
Amen.
That's when the glory now is manifested. That's when the reality has come. That's when Jesus is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Not just a name. Not just somebody who gets me out of my problems. But somebody who gets me into the reality of the purpose of God. And why God gave us this message. You know Zacchaeus? He heard Jesus was coming. How many people came out in Jericho to see Jesus? Those who were doing their washing, they left. Those who were in the middle of cooking, they left. They were all thronging. They were all coming. We want to see this man Jesus. He has come to Jericho. He has come to Jericho. Even Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he heard that Jesus was coming. He said, now if my child, I'll get my sight.
Amen.
He rushed there. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard it. Called him. What do you want? That I may receive, get my sight. He said, you get it. He was given his sight. He was rejoicing. And other people were coming. He's even giving people their sight there. They came to see him. And there was another man. A short one. He climbed the tree. And that was Zacchaeus. Why did he climb the tree? He wanted to see Jesus. Amen. Why were all these people coming out of their houses? Zacchaeus could not see Jesus because he was short. And Jesus was thronged by all these people. And all these people, they came to see him. When they saw him, what did Jesus say to them? Nothing. But to Zacchaeus, he stood under the tree. He said, Zacchaeus, come down.
Amen.
Today I'll go with you to your house. Why did he say that to all the other people? Mm. You can see that Zacchaeus wanted to see something more than all these people wanted to see. Why didn't Jesus say to Bartimaeus, I'll go with you to your house. What do you want? To see. Okay, get inside. Go. Zacchaeus, it was different. He says, come down. I'll go with you. And when Jesus went to Zacchaeus, the people were complaining. Why is he going with a sinner? Why is he sitting in the house of a sinner? Then what did Zacchaeus say? He says, all that I destroyed, I'm going to restore.
Amen.
And to the poor, I'll give half of my wealth. And Jesus says, this day,
yes,
salvation has come to this house. Why? Because they just wanted to see Jesus. Not as a man, but Jesus, the one who could give him his salvation.
Amen.
And then Jesus says, he is the son of Abraham. Because Abraham desired to see this.
Amen.
When Abraham was following God, it was not just because he was getting blessed for the day. Abraham was looking for the city. He was desiring that son, and he knew Isaac was only a figure of the true son. And that was Jesus. Paul says that was the seed of Abraham. Abraham desired this seed. Now Zacchaeus was the seed of, was a child, was a son of Abraham. He desired to see what his father wanted to see, not a man. But the fulfillment of God's word, the purpose of the mystery of God, the purpose and the revelation of God. That's why Jesus says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Which God will they see?
Right.
When we get healed, you know we see God. When we are blessed at work, we see God. You know, when we get this and get that, we see God. Yes. But there's something more than to that.
Amen.
Amen. There's something why God is showing us all these things. There's the truth of God. And God, Jesus says, this is the son of Abraham. Why? Because he wanted to see Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And who is this Jesus? John chapter 1. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Word was made flesh. So who is this Jesus? Zacchaeus wanted to see. Who is this Doctor Jesus? The Greeks wanted to see. You know the good thing is Jesus never referred Zacchaeus as a Jew. He never said this Jew. He said the son of Abraham. He never even said the son of Jacob. Can you see? He took Zacchaeus back to the original, Abraham. That's where we Gentiles can come in also.
Amen.
We don't come in through Isaac.
Right.
We don't come in through Jacob. We come in through Abraham.
Amen.
And we are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. And who is Jesus? The Bible says, when the Word was made flesh, we beheld the glory of God. What is that glory? That's the same glory Moses desired to see. That's the same glory the Greeks wanted to see. That's the same glory Zacchaeus wanted to see. It is the glory of God. Why? Because Jesus is the visible side of the Logos. We can see the Logos. But Jesus came that we may see the Logos. And what is the Logos? Is the visible side of eternal spirit.
Amen.
So you can see Jesus come that we may see not in him, but we may see the Logos.
Amen.
And the Logos is the visible side of God.
Amen.
Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
You know, when Brother Branham was preaching in the Message Life, he says, life is not what we have here. Life is knowing him in the forgiveness of your sins.
Amen.
That is life. And what is the forgiveness of our sins? He says, let us come out of our imagination. Because the desire to see God is what prompted people to make images. It's what makes people to worship the sun and the moon. They want to see something. Because of the imagination of a man, when you think of God, you have your own imagination. God must be like this. To the people of Nineveh, God was a big fish. You know, to the Philistines, God was a great tackle. To the Sidonian, God was the great bow, the sun. Some old guy was trying to tell me yesterday about Buddhism, showing me what Buddha is and what their faith is. You see, to them, God is this Buddha. He says, you know, God has put us in a circle. We are going around the circle. One time you can be a dog, another time a pig, another time a person. So we are all the same dogs, pigs, people, we are all in the same circle. That's Buddha. You can see imagination of man. Because you can see a dog eating food and we eat food, you say we are the same. God has made us one. You hit a dog, it cries. You hit the man, he cries. Say, we are one. We are the same. That's Buddha. But let's come out of all those imaginations. Let's come way back before there was anything.
Yeah.
The great Elohim, the only, the great eternal spirit was there filling all time and space.
Yes.
And out of him, he brought out this logos. But still we can't see it.
Right.
In this logos is the monogen, which is the word of God. In this logos is all the thoughts and intentions of God. What he desired was in this great logos, which is the word. And then out of that logos, here comes Jesus.
Amen.
The word made flesh.
Amen.
And the fullness of this great Elohim dwells in him to fulfill his desire, which he had way before there was anything.
Amen.
So who is Jesus? He is showing us. He is bringing to us the visible part of God.
Mm-hmm.
The visible intentions of God. And Brother Brown says, when Jesus came, he was made flesh.
Right.
And all those who believed in him were given the right to sonship.
Right.
And then Jesus, he condescended. He came to be man. So that he can take me, a man, flesh and blood, take me out of the mark of sin, that I may come to this, because when Jesus came, he faced grace and truth was revealed. The truth of who I am. I am the Son of God, but I have committed all these evils. So it needs grace.
Mm-hmm.
So grace and truth came together and brought me out. So that I may come.
Amen.
To what? Come to see the man Jesus, healing the sick, raising the dead, giving people fish in the wilderness. It's more than that.
Right.
Jesus did not come for all these things. He came out of eternity into time.
Mm.
Can you see?
Yeah.
To bring us out of this back to God.
Hallelujah.
And balance it. That's what will happen when we die. When Jesus comes, this body, this theophany, our passing theophany, will come, raise this body, and then it will be glorified.
Amen.
We come back to God. And then what will happen at the end? We are brought to Jesus. Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. And then at the conclusion, when time shall be no more, will be taken to Jesus. And then Jesus will surrender all to the Father. And then he will sit as the firstborn among the redeemed.
Amen.
And then all glory will be to God.
Amen.
That's why we are being taken by Jesus. So that's what the Greeks wanted to see. And if we have believed this message, that's the desire of our heart. We want to see Jesus.
Amen.
We want to see the purpose of his calling.
Amen.
I'm not interested in the pillar of fire, good as it may be.
Right.
I'm not interested in my healing, though it is good. I'm not interested even in this life, though I like it. There's something why God has given me this life. There's something greater to my coming to church here.
Amen.
There's something greater to the preaching of the word. There's something greater to why God has given me this life and this opportunity.
Amen.
That's what I want to see.
Right.
And that was the desire of Moses. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Those who are not messed up by Christianity. Those who are not messed up by denominationalism. Those who are not messed up by the things of this present world. Those who are pure, whose hearts want to see the real thing. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there is something in this thing. Though God has done all these great things in our lives, you know, one day, our works will follow us.
Mm-hmm.
One day we are going to be rewarded for what we have done. But I tell you, we have done good. We have done good to the underprivileged. We have done good to those who are in problems. As much as we have done good, the rest of the world is doing also good.
Amen.
To the underprivileged.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something why God is going to reward your work. It's not just by mere good things. The Bible says Moses. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11, you see. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 18. All these all died in faith, not in having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Right.
Amen. These are the great sages. These are those who had faith, true faith. But let's look at them. Moses, he said he had faith. What faith? He says he could not, he forsook Egypt. He did not fear the king. He partook of the Passover. And he actually brought the people out of bondage. And that is the promise of God to Abraham. I'll take your children out after 400 years. Is that right? Moses, I mean, God called Abraham, I'll give you a son. And he actually got the son, Isaac. Jacob was told when he was lying down there, I'll bless you and give your children this land. He was given 12 sons. But here the Bible says they did not receive the promise.
That's right.
How could they not receive the promise? When here we've got a record where what God promised, he did. But we had Abraham. When he was given the promise, he looked for a city with foundations, which build and make his God.
Right.
Can you see that Abraham was seeing the unseen?
Mm-hmm.
He was not only interested in Isaac. He could see Isaac was a figure of the real thing.
Amen.
Our coming here is a figure of the real thing.
Amen.
That's why we come. That's what makes us to come for service. It's a figure of the real thing.
Amen.
And somebody doesn't even want to come to the figure.
Right.
How is he going to come to the reality?
Hallelujah. It's true.
Can you see?
Amen.
What does he see? That's why I see some people, they say I'm a powerful ministry, but they don't see the purpose. To them, we are not the Presbyterians. You know the Presbyterians? They can't understand even Baptism.
Thank God, God gave us a message. Oh, we are not Buddha. Buddha thinks a dog is a person. Oh, please, God, God gave us a revelation. But what is that revelation doing to you?
Right.
What's the benefit? Can you see? It's more than, you know, what is written on paper. It's more than just accepting God sent a prophet. These people, they actually got it. Abraham got the son. Hannah was blessed and got the son. David slew Goliath. Jephthah overcame the enemy. Gideon destroyed the Midianites. But the Bible says they did not receive the promise. Why? Because verse 39, and this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These great people who stood in the mouths of lions, these great men of faith, who stopped the fire? These great men of faith who were raised from the dead. These great men of faith who considered not the body not dead, but said God is able. They are not perfect until we come. They are waiting for us. Amen. They are waiting for us. Without us, they cannot be perfect. God cannot receive them. But God, they obtained a good report that they were in the right track. Why did God give Abraham Isaac to confirm he was in the right track? But Isaac was not real thing. Can you see? Why did God bring Israel out of Egypt to confirm they were in the right track? But carrying us out of Egypt was not the real thing. Can you see? Why did God give us Jesus as a man? That was not the end of it. The real thing was in his death. Can you see?
Right.
So what we see is not the real thing. It's only a manifestation of the real thing.
Right.
And we go by the unseen, not this which is seen. Can you see? And then those fringes, those great men and women of faith, they can never, 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 never go in until we come.
Hallelujah.
So what manner of men and women should we be?
Right.
If they are waiting for us. Those who stopped the fire. When as of us we are going under the benches fearing swine flu. But those, they went into the fire. But they are waiting for us. How should we be? What manner of people should we be? Because in chapter 12 it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the rest that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Amen. All these people who lived, why did they live? They are only a witness. Can you see? A witness is not the actor. Can you see? If you are called to come to be a witness to an event, can you, if you stand in court, can you under oath give us, stand here in court as a witness? Then you stand there under oath. I'm going to speak the truth. I saw this man, he took a knife out of his bag and he stabbed this woman 5 times until she died. I was there. It is not you who stabbed the woman. You are a witness that this man stabbed this woman. Can you see?
Yeah.
So these people are a witness.
They are our witness to our faith. Why and how? Let's look at Jude 11. Jude 14, rather. He says, and Enoch also, the servant from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their harsh speeches which the ungodly sinners have spoken against you. Here is Enoch, the servant from Adam. We are told that Enoch, way back there, he walked with God and was not, because God took him. Why did Enoch walk with God? Here is the answer. He saw the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. Who are those tens of thousands of the saints? The bride. So what did Enoch see? He did not see the sin in his day. He did not see the things which were happening around him. He saw you coming with the Lord. That's what caused him to walk with God. That's why the Bible says he is a witness to us. Can you see? So, what made Enoch to have faith? Because the Bible says, by faith, Enoch walked with God. How did he walk with God? His faith could see the unseen. What was not seen in his day? How could they see us way back there in the age of Adam? When we are right here at the end. And the Bible says, without us, they cannot be perfected. Because why they walked in faith was they were seeing us.
Amen.
All right. We were so real until Enoch walked with God. And he was even raptured premature. You know, the rapture was not yet. But he experienced rapture. Because he could see you going in the rapture. He could see the reality of the church going. And he was so influenced by seeing the reality that he walked with God in that premature age. And God took him. He could not stay there. He was taken up because he could see you. And then the Bible says, what manner of people should we be?
Amen.
Amen. Can you see?
Yes.
You know, Brother Branham, he was wondering, what is death? Is it that when I die, I'm going to be a little hollow, just a light moving around there? I cannot even talk with my brothers. I cannot even talk with Brother Neville. I just see him as a hollow, going like that. What is death? And he was there lying down, wondering, what is death? And then the Bible says, Brother Branham says, he saw himself sort of coming out of the body. Because he could see his body lying there, but he was up there. He looked there, he could see many young men and women coming. Our precious brother. Our precious brother. He says, what is this? He says, there was no yesterday, there was no tomorrow. He says, you can't even explain. There's no word enough to explain the goodness of that place. He says, sublime, it cannot. It's not just enough. He says, there was perfect love. And then the one who was talking with him, he says, this is perfect love. You have taught it, you have preached it, but you didn't know it. Now, this is it. Perfect love. And many were coming to him. My precious brother. He said, I don't remember you. It was a young woman with long hair, a long skirt. And he said, I don't remember you. She said, I was age 5 when you led me to Christ. And here she is, young again. And then when Brother Branham finally came out of that, he said, I'll never be the same William Branham I was. What made him? He had seen the perfect man.
Amen.
Says, we would see Jesus.
Amen.
We want to see the real. You know, when we see the real, it will have an impact on our lives. It will have an impact on our faith. Amen. That's why the Gentiles, the Greeks came and said, says, we will see Jesus. And Paul, in his ministry, you know, he said to the Ephesians, after I heard about your faith, after I heard about your good works, I am praying that God may open the eyes of your understanding. After you have done good, after you have believed, Paul says, I want to see in you that you have your eyes opened to the purpose of your being called. But we are doing good to the saints. We are doing this, we are believing, we have been baptized, we have the Holy Ghost. Yes, but there is a purpose why you have been called. I'm praying to God that God will open your eyes
right.
And you see that purpose. That's what he says with the Corinthians. He says, I want to see not you, but Christ crucified.
Amen.
And then you can be the written epistles.
Mm-hmm.
If the ministers can see Christ after they preach the gospel, after they explain the scriptures, after they prayed, after they fasted, and they see in the congregation Christ manifested, then their preaching is worth it.
Amen.
Or else, it doesn't help. We want to see. I want to see the real thing, the purpose of God. May God bless you. And may our desire be that.
Amen.
We see that.